Father, again, we come to you as our Heavenly Father. And I know today, once again, you're wanting to reveal yourself. You're wanting to make yourself known. You're wanting us to know you more than we did yesterday. And so when Paul prayed that prayer and he said, I keep asking that you, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may know you better. And we pray this morning, Father, and we ask that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us. There's the riches of this, of your glorious inheritance that's within us, and this incredible great power of yours that is also in us who believe. And we ask this morning, Father, that this will become our prayer more and more, as we begin to really begin to understand the revelation of you in your Son, and to see you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's life-changing. And so thank you for your grace upon us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing with us this morning what you have received from our Lord Jesus Christ, to make it known to us. And so we want to thank you. So Lord Jesus, we come in your name, we fellowship in your name, we listen in your name, we have communion in your name, and we worship in your name. We just connect to one another as a family in your name, Jesus. And we want to thank you for your divine presence amongst us. As you minister, as you again, just reveal the Father to us, continually just taking us to the Father, teaching us and showing us in your word truths that we may have just read over, but yet they are so deep and life-changing. And so we want to thank you for that. Today, as we look at our communities where you have placed us, whether it's in Sasol, Vereeniging, Vanderbijl, down in Pringle Bay, wherever we may be, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can speak your name over our communities. We can come in your name to pray for our communities. And so open that up more and more of the reality. We ask for faith, that you impart your faith as we hear you speak to us, we receive your faith, to be able to just appropriate what you are teaching us. And so this we ask, Lord Jesus, in your name, so that our Heavenly Father will be glorified in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good. Okay, guys. We have been looking at that particular scripture for a while. And I'm going to go back to that over there. And that's the one that we see. Let me just get to the right page over here. Sorry. We started off in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. And we began to, I think, I know for myself personally, this was a scripture that the Holy Spirit really began to just grab my attention, because there's something, there's more that is, was wanting us to sort of enter in and to know and to experience. And that is the faith in the name of Jesus. And again, so in verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. And so we spent quite a bit of time just starting to receive this, and the Holy Spirit is starting to really let this become a reality of the faith in the name of Jesus. And we looked at the understanding of the name of Jesus and the person Jesus cannot be separated. And we looked at the Old Testament understanding, and we've looked at the New Testament understanding. And so I think we've got a pretty good idea right now to know that when we speak the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus being with us. And as Jesus said, where two or three come in my name, there I am with you. And that's the reality as we pray in the name of Jesus. He's here with us as we've come together in the name of Jesus. He is here amongst us, and he is ministering to you and I. And it's faith, this God-given faith, as the Holy Spirit has opened up and you are fully persuaded that Jesus is there in your dining room, in your lounge, in your bedroom, wherever, in your home, amongst us have here this morning. When we are fully persuaded, that is when we are able to start receiving and appropriating everything that comes from our Heavenly Father, the good news that is that comes in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. So this is what we've been looking at for some time. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. And we looked at this also, the reality of the faith that comes through Jesus. And in the context of this, the faith that comes through Jesus, it successfully comes through Jesus. So the faith we receive comes from God. And that is why, as I shared last Sunday, that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, and we see there in verse 17, there where they came to the mountain where Jesus had told them to come, and they began to worship, but some doubted. But that doubt in their hearts did not intimidate Jesus. It did not stop Jesus from commissioning them into the Great Commission. Because remember, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So even in the midst of their doubt, those that doubted there, Jesus says, go into all the nations. And he commissioned you, because faith comes from hearing. So as those folk are doubting over there, as Jesus speaks to them over there, they're hearing Jesus speak to them. Faith is imparted into them. And so that's what takes place when you and I, even when we've got doubt, we just have to be honest with that and say, Lord, I'm doubting over there. Please speak to me, because I know that as I hear your voice, I receive a faith that's going to enable me to respond. It's going to enable me to be able to walk in the teaching that you are now giving to me, or the instructions that you are giving to me. So faith in the name of Jesus is a very big big reality for us as believers. And so we've been looking at that. And then a few Sundays back, we began to ask the question, okay, what is a true disciple? Because we've got to look at the understanding of a true disciple, because there's a key understanding that Jesus is imparting to us to be able to know what a disciple is. Because if we need to have a starting point of understanding, okay, this is what a true disciple is, and we have a mandate to go and make disciples, but we come back and we ask, okay, am I a true disciple of Jesus? Because in being a disciple of Jesus, there's a reality that we experience, and we live in a reality that Jesus has brought into this world. And so we see here in John chapter 8 and verse 31, to the Jews who believed him. So once again, we ask, yeahs of faith, the Jews who have faith in Jesus. And so as Jesus has been with them for so many years and been speaking with them, and that faith comes from hearing, the Father is drawing them to his Son Jesus, and now they believe. So they have faith in Jesus. They believe that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is who all the prophets had spoken about and prophesied in the Old Covenant regarding the coming, the promised King, the promised Messiah, the Redeemer, and so forth. So here we see here that Jesus says to the Jews who believed him, Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And so we looked at this and we realized more and more that here this holding is when we've received the word of God and it's becoming our lifestyle. So when Jesus speaks about this later on in John and in chapter 15, he says over there that if if you abide in me and my words abide in you, my words remain in you. So the words that I speak to you, if you take them in and they remain in you and you start to live according to what I've spoken to you, see, then he says over there, you are really my disciples. So we're seeing here that a disciple is somebody who listens to Jesus and now receives what he's saying there and responds. And so the teaching of Jesus becomes our lifestyle. Remember, Jesus says, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. So the teachings of Jesus, we are now experiencing the life of the Holy Spirit. We are experiencing the incredible truth of God and the life that comes. So we've entered into something that only a disciple of Jesus knows and experiences. Okay, so that's important to understand, because we're starting to realize here that because many Christians, you know, they're Christians, but they're not true disciples, because they don't know. They don't know. They're not holding into the truths of Jesus. And so in the Great Commission, we ask ourselves, okay, whatever Jesus is teaching us, there's something that he wants me to begin to take into my life, and I need to follow that teaching. Then he says over there, you are really my disciples. And then in verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus brings in something, and nobody else has ever done this. So only Jesus. So he now communicates and he teaches something. We receive that. As we receive that and it becomes our lifestyle, we are really the disciples of Jesus. And the consequence, the fruit of remaining in his word, we remaining him, that's the intimacy, it's relational all the time. What happens there? Then we know that truth. So the teaching of Jesus has a purpose, and that is for you and I to know the truth. Okay? His word is spirit and life. So Jesus speaks not words that are ground bound, not words that are natural, not words of philosophy and wisdom from mankind. He's speaking words that's coming directly from his heavenly Father. Okay? So it's spirit. Now that words that he's speaking to you, those are the words that faith comes from hearing. So as we hear him speak, those very words are the words that Jesus is communicating, by the Father is communicating through his Son, by the Holy Spirit. And those words are spiritual truths that as we take them in, we now begin to live in the reality of the life. Remember what Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father. See, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so in John chapter 17, verse 3, for instance, over there, we see there that Jesus says, Father, I've given them the eternal life, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's an important thing, because that's what we're busy having a look. Let me just read this again in John 17, verse 3. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, notice that. So, eternal life is knowing the Father. He's the only true God. Very, very important. And you only know the true God when we hear God speak, we take his teachings, and the teachings are becoming a reality within us. Then we know that because remember that Jesus said, the words I give to you are spirit and life. It is my Father in me that is speaking. Okay. So now as we hear what's taking place, we begin to know our Father. We begin to know the life. We begin to participate in the quality of this incredible life that's God's life. Christ is the light. He's the life. So we begin to partake in that life. You see, that's the knowing. That's the relational knowing. So it takes us from being ground bound and sort of having an intellectual knowing of God, intellectual knowledge of God, and it takes us into the experiential of really real intimate life with God. Okay. And that's why we're praying that by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will really give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know Him. And that is so needed. And so again, it's a destructive thing if we hear God speak and we don't take that and remain in that truth, because we are really just missing out in the quality of eternal life and the quality of God's life, and we're missing out on that over there. Okay, and so when Jesus is speaking to us, and we've been looking for a while now at the reality of praying, so when Jesus is speaking and he says in John chapter 14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. The purpose that our Lord Jesus is speaking this to us is so that we may know the reality of this truth and experience it. We may live in the reality of this truth. That's why when God spoke to me and he really emphasized this in Acts chapter 3 about having faith in the name of Jesus, it was like realizing, and I'll do some teaching later on sometime, that is a big difference between little faith and small faith. And that because very often we've got the little faith in Jesus, and that's very diluted. There's nothing happens over there. And so the disciples could not cast out demons because they had little faith. But if we got faith the size of a mustard seed, we can speak to the mountain and it obeys. That's the big difference, okay? And that's why the Holy Spirit's helping. Our Lord Jesus wants to take us from the little faith reality as believers into the small faith, that powerful small faith. And the context is small because your mountain is big. You know, the impossibilities in life is pretty big. But the truth that God gives, that one little truth, that small, that powerful truth, maybe just a verse, it seems small, but the faith that comes with that truth that God is speaking, so within us over here, this, what God is speaking, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Father may be glorified. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. It may seem, wow, this is just two verses. Okay. But the faith, the power of the faith that comes with that is able to say to the impossibilities in one's life, go, and it has to obey. See, and so Jesus wants us to know this truth. He wants us to be able to live in the reality. And so we go back to what a true disciple is. A true disciple is one, we believe, we now take what Jesus is sharing, and it now remains in us. So we renew our mind. So we've got a starting point. The starting point is that whatever Jesus speaks to us, it's an order for us to know Him, to know the Father. Okay, it's a knowing, it's a relational thing. Okay, so that's very powerful. So when it comes to prayer, the starting point for prayer is to know Him. It's God's way that you and I are able to know Him more and more. It's relational. So prayer is not a Christian duty. Prayer is not a discipline, Christian discipline. No, that's religion. Prayer is relational. And so we pray. God has said, given us the incredible privilege and the gift of prayer so that we may get to know Him. It's relational. And as we take this truth of praying, what happens? We begin to know that prayer brings us into the reality of knowing Him. So we can have a look in Philippians chapter 4 and remember then from verse 4 to verse 9 onwards, I think it is, where Paul says over there, with everything, bring all your requests to God in prayer and petition and with thanksgiving. And then he carries on. So there's the reality of prayer. Then he goes on and says, then the peace of God will guard your mind and your heart. So here again, to know the peace of God, to know God as the God of peace, that guards our hearts and our minds, to know that when Jesus says, take heart, troubles come, take heart, but I've overcome this world, to know the reality of that peace and that authority of Jesus and the triumph of Jesus, there is a truth in all things with prayer and request presented to God. See, that's the abiding in that truth. That's us taking that truth and letting that truth become our lifestyle. Not as a duty, but in relationship, knowing that our starting point is as we take the teachings, what takes place there, we begin to know God. We begin to know God's power, begin to know God's peace. And so we're living in the reality of the life of Christ, this abundant life, this eternal life. Okay. And so that's the heart of discipleship. So discipleship is not, again, it's not a list of disciplines. It's not a Christian duties. Most of the discipleship that you and I have been on probably is about, okay, this is what a disciple is. You read the Bible, you go to church, you do this, you do that, you do this. All the do's and the don'ts kind of thing over there. That wasn't Jesus' model. Jesus' whole ministry was to make the Father known so that people can experience the Father. That's relational. And so that's the reality of being a disciple, is to know it's relational. And when you and I partake now in making disciples, that's the same thing. We're not giving them a list of duties, go and do this, go and do that and that. No, no, no. Remember, we are ministers of the new covenant, of the Spirit that gives life. We write on the people's hearts. It's this incredible, glorious new covenant ministry that you and I have. Streams of living waters flow out of us. We have the Spirit of God within us. And as we are in relationship with Jesus and his word is alive and we know the truth is not an intellectual knowledge. We know the truth. Knowing the truth, as we share what happens now, because we know the truth, what God has spoken, as we communicate, we're making disciples, there is the impartation. The Holy Spirit is writing that truth on other people's hearts. So they are now coming into relationship with God, not into Christian duty, not into religion, into relationship with God. Okay, and so that's again, that's the heartbeat of really beginning to understand. So this is very much what our Lord wants us to experience. It's the same here in John 15. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, back to John 8, verse 31, it's the same thing. You ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, wants us to know this, wants us to live in this, wants us to know this truth and the life of this truth. Okay? And so that is why he's emphasizing this to you and I. Over these past couple of weeks, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay? Remember, what's a true disciple? A true disciple is one who the words remain, they experience it. So the fruit of all of being a disciple reveals how real God is. It's knowing him, knowing that what he says is absolute truth, and we live in that truth. Okay, so this is why the Holy Spirit is really emphasizing in a few months back when he started to speak to us the difference between a God faith, because a God faith is relational faith with him. He imparts faith so that we can know him. A religious faith is a religious faith that we are fully persuaded into duty so that we may know duty. We may know, well, if our performance, and so we may have to measure up. And so if I haven't done enough, maybe God's going to punish me, etc., etc. And so we look at life and we look at circumstances and we see, oh, this is happening. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I've not prayed enough. Maybe I haven't done this. You know, that's a religious faith. That's not a God faith, because a God faith, we're living in the reality of being in Christ Jesus, who has done it all for you and I. And that's the freedom that we have from performance. That's the freedom we have from condemnation and so forth. And we spend quite a bit of time in that. And that's why he also said, understand the difference between human faith, because that's your own persuasion in our own abilities. We think we've got the abilities to do everything, and you know, we get sick and then suddenly, wow, you know, we get a bit messed up because our faith is in our own abilities, or a demonic faith, because Satan also persuades us to believe, and remember, he's the father of lies. And so he will always persuade us, like he persuaded Eve, to eat of that, and the consequence is always death. And that Jesus, we hear him, the consequences is life. It's his life, God's life, that you and I live in and participate in his life. And again, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. So the words Jesus speaks to you and I is life, and it's spirit. So as we, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. So that's why we will know the truth, and the truth sets us free, because we're living in the realm of the Holy Spirit, the life, the law of the life of the Holy Spirit. That's the reality of a true disciple. Okay, so we've spent many months on all of that, but just refreshing our memories. Now, when we pray in the name of Jesus, whatever we're doing in the name of Jesus, if you go back to right in the beginning when we spoke about the good news of God, in Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Spirit regarding his Son. And then it goes on to his earthly ministry, to his death and resurrection, and then to his glorification. So God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we are now entering into the reality of God's good news to mankind. That is why every promise is yes in Jesus. That is why we begin to really begin to participate in what God's good news is. And that's why you can't really describe God's good news, because it's bigger than our understanding of goodness. We're entering into the greatness of God, into the heart of God, into the just the incredible awesomeness of God. And Jesus is the way to the Father. So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we're entering into the reality of the truth that is in the Father, who he is. And remember, what's discipleship's all about? The ministry of Jesus is for us to know, for us to have a relationship, to experience a relationship. Our Father's love for us, our love for him, our Father's care, our Father's, you know, the whole involvement of our Heavenly Father, that's what the discipleship is all about. And so now we begin to experience God, because Jesus is the way. He is the good news of God. And a very, very important scripture that we'll look at quickly is this one in Hebrews chapter 1. God having of old, in the old covenant, God having of old time spoken unto the fathers. This is a different translation, but it just brings out the original Greek much clearer. God having of old spoken unto the fathers in the prophets, but divers portions in divers manners. That in the past God spoke, that divers is in different various ways. In the past God has spoken to us through the prophets, in various ways. That's what it says there. Now, in these last days, God has spoken to us. Now, notice over there, in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And this is so important because the word in here is within. Remember Jesus in John chapter 14. When Jesus speaks there in John, let me just go to John 14. Where is John 14? And then verse 10. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So that's a profound. So now we begin to realize here that when we see Jesus, when we're praying in his name, when we have faith in the name of Jesus, it's only then that you and I are able to get a clearer revelation of the Father. It's through Christ Jesus. The Father, living in his Son, is speaking through his Son. Okay, in the past, he spoke through the prophets in various ways, but in these last days, he has already spoken in his Son Jesus. So it's only in his Son that we understand the Old Testament prophecies, because now all those prophecies now become completed and sort of crystal clear in his Son Jesus Christ. So as you and I coming in his name, as you and I are relationship in Jesus, he is the way to the Father. And when we begin to see that Jesus revealed the Father, and we realize now that the Father has spoken to us in the last days, he has already spoken to us in his Son. The Father in his Son has communicated everything. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're entering into all that the Father has spoken about the good news. That's our reality. And that is what our Lord Jesus wants us to begin to know more and more and more. Our Father wants us to know him more and more and more. Our Father wants us to know his truth and the power of his truth, the life of his truth, more and more and more, far more than what we know, the truth about this world and our circumstances and that. We're going to need to be able to grow in this as we go, you know, month after month, year after year, to know him. Whenever, for instance, you know, a famous scripture that we all quote so often is that one in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where it speaks about the, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And because in the context, it's about worrying about life, worrying about these things. And we know these scriptures. But that truth, the Father has spoken through his Son, in his Son. So when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to you and I today, that's our Father speaking to us. He has spoken. It's a done deal. Klar. He has spoken in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we begin to know our Heavenly Father and how we begin to grow in the revelation of who our Father is. This is life-changing. Day after day, as we realize this reality of our Father has spoken in his Son Jesus. So that's why what Jesus has spoken. You take the New Testament, all the apostles and the writings in the New Testament, all that's been said over there comes from what the Father has spoken in his Son Jesus. And they just opening it up and explaining it and giving us a further revelation of what Jesus taught. They have added nothing. It's Christ is the cornerstone. It's in him that the whole body of Christ is built upon. And so, yeah, we see this incredible truth. So we go back to that reality of just knowing. And as I close, now there's a lot more here, but I'm not going to go into that. As we close, I want us to just look at the example of Jesus. We started in the beginning in that Acts 3, and we spoke about the faith that comes through Jesus. Jesus is the incredible example of how he lived in faith. His whole life was a life of faith. Okay? He lived a life of faith where you and I failed to do that. Mankind failed to live a life of the faith that Jesus lived. So he's done it for us. That is why everything that our Lord Jesus has done, you and I, by grace, we receive what he did that we, you and I, that mankind could not have done. Okay. And so Jesus is now coming into Jerusalem, and he says to his disciples, this is in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 1 and 2 onwards, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Now look at the next verse. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on the donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on them. What do we see here? Jesus is speaking the word of God that was released through the prophet Zechariah around 500 years before this time. See, Jesus is a man that's fully persuaded that what God has spoken comes a reality. Jesus is living a life fully persuaded that whatever the Father has said about him will come. So now, before the disciples go out, Jesus speaks, because he's speaking what the prophet Zechariah had spoken. And so he's speaking that. That's what faith is all about. Faith sees the unseen. Okay? So now that's a confidence. It's a platform. It's a substance. It's a foundation. So the foundation that for Jesus in this instance over here is God has spoken through the prophets about he's coming. He's going to be riding on a donkey. Everything's prepared. The donkey's there. He doesn't have to stress and worry about whether it's a donkey or not. He can say straight to the disciples, go, because the donkey's going to be there. Okay. And that's faith. Jesus is showing us faith. Many, many times Jesus speaks about something that was prophesied in the Old Testament and had not yet become a reality. Pentecost. We see Joel, etc., and an Old Testament there about the new covenant and so forth, all prophesied. And Jesus says to the disciples, you stay in Jerusalem because I'm going to my Father, and then I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So wait until you receive power from on high. See, so again, Jesus doesn't have to, how far are you going to do it? No, Jesus, totally confident, man of faith, fully persuaded that what the Father had spoken to the prophets is going to become a reality. Jesus is living as a man, okay? He's showing us how a child of God lives. He spoke about his death to the disciples. It's been prophesied. We see Isaiah 53. We see the end of the Psalms, all been prophesied. And he says over there, guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'm going to be raised again. Okay, so again, it hasn't yet happened, but he's a man of faith. He's showing us, he's speaking what the word of God had said. He's fully persuaded. The Holy Spirit is highlighting that scripture to Jesus. Jesus is fully persuaded, and now he can speak it. Okay, and so he's the example. So that happens. Then Jesus comes to the temple, and he does what he does over there, the temple. And remember, in the morning now, he's hungry, and he goes to that fig tree, and there's no figs. And then he speaks, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the tree withered. And the disciples were amazed. And how did the fig tree wither so quickly? And then Jesus said, Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done in the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it'll be done. If you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. So Jesus modeled a reality of what it is to walk in faith, what it is to be doing what he's doing in the name of his Father. His Father's with him, he's, and the Father ministering is modeling to us the reality of when we come in the name of Jesus, he's with us. He's modeling how to walk in faith, what the Holy Spirit, the truth that the Holy Spirit has shared to you and I, that we take, and now we can speak that. See, Jesus is speaking that which has not yet become a reality in the earthly realm. But he's speaking because our words often can demonstrate tremendous doubt, unbelief, the words that we speak. And so he's helping us now, because whatever we ask for, you see, we're asking in the name. So in the name of Jesus, we're asking that good news of the Father, whatever that may be, that the Holy Spirit has shared. So as you've heard the Holy Spirit speak to you in your heart, now you're asking, that's your prayer. You're asking in his name, you can speak it, and it shall be done. And this is where this faith is so powerful, this God-given faith that comes through Jesus. It's a faith that comes through Jesus. This is what we're talking about. This is the faith that can say to the impossible, go, and the impossible has to obey this God-given faith that you and I are now using in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to know this. He wants us. So any small thing that you're facing right now, that's God's invitation. That's our Lord Jesus opening up a teaching to us, that teaching now to remain in us, and then we will know the truth of this teaching and we'll experience the fruit of this teaching in knowing how real God is in this truth that he has shared with you. Meeting God in that situation, discovering God in your current situation, getting to know him as whatever, whether it's the healer, the provider, the protector, life, whatever way that God, whatever the truth that God has spoken, it opens up to you and I. So let us enjoy the amazing, the joy of being a true disciple of Jesus. Okay. And may God's grace be so abundant in our lives that any religious form of discipling that be broken now in the name of Jesus. And so that all those shackles of performance and self-doubt and all that there will be smashed. It was buried in the tomb with Jesus Christ. And now we've been raised up with him in a new life. And this new life is that we may know him. This is eternal life. That we may know the true, true God. We only know the true God as we abide in the word of God. Then we will know the truth. And the truth sets us free. And you and I don't want to know a religious God. We want to know the true God. And so the discipling as we go into touching other people's, it's for people to know the real Jesus, the real Father, and enjoy that relationship with him. So God bless as we have communion, and let's just celebrate and give praise to Jesus. So Father, again, as we just come in the name of your Son and to know that you are in your Son speaking, and the more we know your Son, the more we walk with your Son, the more we abide in him, the clearer and the more we know you. And so I want to thank you that you are showing us, Father, that the way to really get to know you is through your Son. He is the way to you, Father. He is the truth. He is the life. And we want to thank you that no one comes to you, Father, unless through your Son, Jesus. And what a joy that you have given to us as your family to be able to share the gospel, to be able to communicate to others this, the powerful truths of the gospel of your love expressed in and through your Son Jesus, and how you have spoken to mankind. Your good news, you spoke to us in your Son. And as we see your Son, as we watch your Son, as we listen to your Son, we're starting to see what this good news is all about. And we receive it today, Father, as we eat with you, Jesus, and celebrating what you have done for us. We're celebrating the power of your blood in redeeming us. We're celebrating your life that you went to the cross so that we could have this life, this relationship with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Jesus. Together with all the saints in the heaven, we just stand and we just celebrate the time that we can just have communion, your supper, as we speak about it, as a reminder, as a participation, not just a symbol, a participation in the incredible reality of the abundant life, of us knowing the truth and living in the freedom of participating with you, being born again, being reconciled, having the Holy Spirit within us, so that by the Holy Spirit we can say, Abba, Father, being loved by you, Father. So thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Amen.